What an absolutely beautiful sight. We are so blessed. We're starting this morning our study time in Matthew chapter 18, where the disciples are asking a question with some very mixed motives. Look at this scripture up on the screen. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, if you'll read the context around this question, you'll find out the disciples have been arguing among themselves about who's the greatest. You can only imagine Peter saying, "It's obvious I'm the greatest, I'm the most outspoken of all the disciples." You can imagine John saying, "Hey, I'm the greatest, I'm Jesus' best friend." Or maybe even Judas saying, "I've been put in charge of the money." But they're arguing about this. They ask Jesus this question. They're breathlessly waiting for Jesus to answer. Now, in that day, it wouldn't be unusual for a rabbi to bring somebody out and say, "This is the greatest person." Maybe another rabbi or the high priest or someone. But the disciples are thinking, "He's about to call my name. He's seen something special in me. I'm the greatest." And so they are absolutely shocked when they see this following picture. Jesus brings out a child, okay? Jesus, if you want to see who's the greatest, here's the greatest. It's a child. Now, this is very countercultural. Children in ancient days were not high up on the totem pole. They did not live like you and I live in a child-centric culture where, if we'd be honest, most children run most homes. Now, parents were good to their children. They loved their children. But the culture was not centered around children. It'd be like a phrase that many of us may have heard growing up. Children should be seen and not heard. That's the way they looked at it. And that's the way the disciples actually looked at it. Go with me to Matthew 19. This is after Matthew 18, which would say they don't get Jesus' point back then. But look at Matthew 19 in verse 13. "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. You can only imagine. These parents had seen the hands of Jesus heal people, do marvelous things, bless people, and they want a special blessing on their child. Isn't this crazy? But the disciples rebuked them. Isn't that crazy? They get on to the parents for bringing their children to Jesus. Now, we could get really down the disciples right now, but understand they're trying to protect Jesus. They know Jesus' schedule. They know how drained and how tired Jesus is. They know, they feel like, what the priority should be. You don't need to be fooling with these children. We got adults who need to hear the gospel. In our day, we might say, "These children have not even reached the age of accountability. Jesus, you need to move on past this." And listen to what Jesus says to them. "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. First point this morning, Jesus celebrated children. He did. And that's what I love about a Sunday like today, when we get to celebrate all of our children. What an incredible sign for our church to see the children among us. I even love the noise in the hallways, even sometimes in the worship center. I'm not the preachers get mad because your baby starts crying, because to me that's a sign of what we ought to be. I'll never forget the family that placed membership. I said, "Why did you decide to become a member of Landmark?" They said, "Because we saw so much joy in the children." That's what we want. And that's what Jesus celebrated. A scholar named Jordan McDonald wrote this. Listen, no man could be called to be a follower of Jesus if children were afraid to play at his door. That's pretty convicting. No man could be a follower of Jesus if children are afraid to play at his door. I think Jesus is teaching that. And then go back with me to Matthew 18, where that awkward question was asked. And let's get another point. Matthew 18, verse 1. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Jesus, he called a little child to him And he placed the child among them and said, listen very closely to this. Don't just pass over these words as sweet Kids Kingdom Sunday words, okay? This would belong in our must series after you hear this, okay? Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does Jesus say? Not only must we celebrate children, we are to imitate children. Jesus says, just think about this. If you're wanting to go to heaven, you got to change. That word there, change, is some translations translate it converted. It's the word we looked at a few weeks ago for repent. In other words, if you're not childlike, he's not talking about being childish, okay? Let's just go ahead and put that aside. He's talking about being childlike. If you're not that way, he says, you need to change your mind. You need to turn. You need, that word's pretty strong. You need to be converted. This is not just a great idea. This is an essential truth. Now, why would Jesus make such a big deal about children? Why would we do that today? Well, first of all, I just want to scan quickly some of the qualities children have that we need, all right? And this gives me a scriptural excuse to show you my grandchildren, okay? So just really enjoy. These are probably the best slides ever shown. First of all, children are dependent. That's my granddaughter, Ivy, and her beautiful mother, Rachel. A child's got to have an adult to live. They're completely dependent on someone else. They're trusting. That's my granddaughter Charlotte, very unhappy having her face painted. She's very shy, but at that point she can trust somebody else to fool with her face for a little bit. And then here is my grandson George and actually Emmett Segris. They're at Jim Sanderson basketball camp. You better be teachable. You had better pay attention. And they're doing a good job. And then, you know, one of the greatest things about children is they can be in an incredible fight and the next moment be best friends. And here's my grandsons, George and Sport, hugging. Now, actually, that's a picture from after one of Sport's baseball games, and his big brother was just so proud of him, he went over and gave him a big hug. I love that. And then you see my little grandson, Henry. Guys, all it takes is a cape, right? Just a make-believe cape, and that's all a child needs, just to play. And then I love the expression of my grandson, Sport's face. If you know Sport, he's not just expressive with his face, he's very expressive with his words, all right? He will keep your life interesting and blessed. And then I love that children are just uninhibited. We outgrow that. And this is the twins, Charlotte and Caroline, doing their best Hollywood imitation. And then I love this picture. Children are full of wonder. This is Henry and Ivy looking up at a Christmas decoration. Or just think about the excitement here on Eleanor's face as she's receiving a gift. Or this one I really like is children know how to celebrate. Can we keep that one up there for a moment? Okay, let's go on. Children love, and this is my personal picture I love, that's Sport on the bike. You know, guys, when I think about being a child, I love to ride my bike. And we lived in a great neighborhood in Delray with lots of families. We did everything together. And if when I look back at childhood and think what I miss when my biggest responsibility was keeping air in my bicycle tires. Don't you? Just enjoying yourself. Or how about the joyful picture on Lalabelle's face as she's climbing that tree? It's crazy all the gifts we give when normally the funnest things are not something we have to buy. Or I love the innocence of a child. And there's my little Henry in his cozy coo. Just look at that face. You just got to love it. Are those not the most beautiful grandchildren you have seen? All right, just you can go ahead and oblige me there. Now, but what was Jesus talking about, okay? In the context of here, there's all these incredible qualities, but I think there's some that Jesus was absolutely trying to get over. So let me give you those real quickly. When he says you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven, I think, first of all, what Jesus is teaching, obviously, here is children must be humble. He says you must go low like a child. You see, the issue in this text is his disciples are full of pride. They're wanting to know who's the greatest. The religious leaders are full of pride and pretense, trying to act like somebody they're not. And Jesus is sick and tired of it. And Jesus says, you really want to see what's great? It's a child who's humble, who doesn't mind asking for things, who doesn't mind asking for a hug. I remember when my daughter Laura was young, before she could talk, if she, you might all of a sudden look down and she was just sitting on the floor and her hands would be just straight up. Just straight. Thank you for imitating that. We got somebody getting into the message today. Yes, just straight up. And it was just, and then when she could finally say something, she got a little confused. She'd say, hold you. And you just love the humility of a child that goes, you know, I need help. I'm not self-sufficient. You know, we adults say crazy statements like about a certain thing. I will never lower myself to do that. You're kidding me. Jesus says you have got to lower yourself to enter the kingdom of heaven. They're teachable. They don't have all these pretense. And next, I think Jesus is saying children are completely dependent. They're not going to make it on their own. They've got to have adults. Now, here's the crazy thing, is we grow up as an adults and we develop this illusion of control. That really, if we just do things right and be safe, that we can control life. My goodness, is the church over the last few weeks, if ever we've learned that people's lives can go out of control in a split second, we've learned it. We are completely dependent. I like how the Apostle Paul puts it. It's in him, God, that we live and move and have our being. We can't make it without God. And I love this point. Children have absolute confidence in the future. They're trusting. They're not worried about where their next meal is coming from. Now, you and your spouse may be up at night trying to figure out how to make ends meet. How are you going to be able to make your house payment? How are you going to be able to put the food on the table? But I'll guarantee you, your kids are back in their room sleeping like babies because they assume absolute confidence in the future. There's no doubt. In fact, as they grow older, what do we have to do? We have to teach them not to trust, right? Maybe in trouble. And then another point I think Jesus obviously is making is that children live with spontaneous joy. I met with our children's minister and ministers and a lady who's just become a member here, Dee Dee Nolan, who's been in children's ministry for decades, just interviewing them about this, getting ideas. And one of them told about a child who comes back to Kids Kingdom most every week and just simply says, I'm back. I know you missed me. Don't you love that? My grandson Henry is just a gentle little sweet little guy, and when he spent the night with us the other night, and when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't cry, he doesn't call for you, he just sits there in his crib. It's just crazy. So I walked in that morning to get him, and he's standing up smiling, reaching for me. First words out of his mouth is, I poo-poo. I mean, you just love the expressiveness of children. They just have joy. I love watching my grandkids play. Or I love being in one room and maybe they're watching a show in another room and all of a sudden you just hear them cackling. They're not holding back. They're not self-conscious. They're just laughing. Or just the simplicity. I see my grandson Sport. He can get in my backyard with two sticks and spend the afternoon creating a whole world. It's so simple and so joyful. And they respond that way. I can't even remember which of my grandchildren it was that years ago, if anything good would happen, they would just break out into happy birthday. It wasn't birthday, but they knew that was a great day. And guys, here's what I want you to see from this. God wants you and I to be totally alive. As followers of Jesus Christ, we want to be people like this. I mean, as you look at this list, man, these are things in our adulthood we need to be humble and moldable. We need to be trusting. I mean, all of this. We have a Heavenly Father who's a much better parent than any of us. We need confidence in the future. I don't know about you, but the way the world's going right now, I'll be very frank with you. From the flesh, if I didn't know God, I wouldn't have a lot of confidence in the future. But because I know God, that should change everything. And because we know God, whatever is thrown us in life, we ought to be able to live with this spontaneous joy that we learn. I like this quotation from theologian J.K. Chesterton. I think God is the only child left in the universe, and all the rest of us have grown old and cynical because of sin. Man, Satan's pulled something. So I want to ask you this question right now in our lesson, just for a moment for you to think about. How has Satan stolen your childlikeness? Now, I want you to think about it before I give any kind of answers. Listen to me, guys. When we filled out the reclaim cards at the beginning of this series, what has Satan stolen from you? Let me tell you, the number one answer that you and I gave was he's stolen our joy. And I'm honest with you, this is the most important lesson for us to reclaim our joy. Is that we must reclaim our childlikeness. What has stolen your joy? Now, some of you, your joy has been stolen by somebody you should have been able to trust who actually hurt you. I know there are people in this audience, you say, buddy, I don't even get what you're saying because my childhood was stolen from me and I don't even have these memories to look back. And man, if that's you, I am so sorry. But for most of us, we had it. And then Satan works really hard. Listen to what an author named Mark Buchanan writes. Adulthood is mostly about getting things done. Past a certain age, our existence is consumed by obligation. Deadlines loom. Responsibilities are mountainous. Chores are piling up. There's a list, always, of things to do. So one of the first things to die in adults, listen, is playfulness. We are a grim bunch, generally stern and mirthless beneath huge invisible weights. Most grown-ups, an increasing number of youth and children, feel like life is all work and no play. What's stolen your child out? Is it the weight of responsibilities? Is it someone hurt you? Is it that long to-do list? You got more to do than keep air in your bicycle tires. I was trying to think about this week, and I hope you're thinking about it, because I think this is an important question. But I think in my life, what stole my childlikeness is I was a very trusting child, and I still am trusting to a fault. I always need my wife's radar to tell me, you know, this is somebody maybe you ought to stay away from. Because I just naturally assume the best in people, see the best, and put myself in positions sometimes I don't need to be. But I think what stole my childlikeness is when I grew up, and even 19 years old, started the ministry. And, man, I was so innocent. And I thought, man, everybody loves Jesus this way. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody. And I found out that people would say one thing to your face and say something behind you. I found out that people would make it their job to scrutinize you and to nitpick you and tell other people about it or even write it up in a public publication. I mean, it just blew my mind. And I can remember, I later in years got used to it, that it really doesn't bother me anymore. But when I was a young minister, it was devastating. And I don't know what it is that stolen your childlikeness, but I guarantee you Satan's been trying to do it. And it's so easy in the culture that we live, because I think part of it is just we're in a fallen world, sin's around us, and there's reason, if we didn't know God, to just be completely cynical about life. Or just think about the busyness we live in. I think that steals a lot of our joy. And the information overload. Guys, we are inundated with more and more information. I was thinking about this when I was studying for this sermon, because I thought, man, I really want this to be good. You know, I really want this to be deep. And so, man, I've got a stack of commentaries this big on my desk. I've got all these research I've done and copied, sermons, illustration, notes. And about Wednesday, I'm just not getting anywhere. And my week is never good till I sort of know where I'm going. And so so finally, I'm going, buddy, you're so crazy. You're preaching on childlikeness, and you're making it so complex. This is not a complex message. Scoot some of this stuff away and just tell them what Jesus said. And guys, I feel like we do that in so many things in life. We overly research. We overly, and we forget just the simplicity of life and truth. So let's close out here by just talking about reclaiming childlikeness. And I'm going to give you a lot of different ideas here. And some of them may fit you and some of them may not. But I want you to walk out of here today not just saying, man, what a great day we had celebrating the children of this church, and that's cool. But man, I want to get this back, okay? So how do you reclaim childlikeness? I got you 8 ideas to look at. Number one, admit you've lost it. The first thing in any time, any change, is you got to admit there's a problem. And so that's part of the humility thing, is go, you know what? Man, I remember what it was like to be a kid, and some of those incredible qualities I enjoyed then, I've lost it. Number two, spend time with children. I think that's one of the best things you can do. Jesus' example is perfect. He wanted to be with children. Now, here's the problem I even found sometimes as an adult, because I love to get things done, to spend time with my kids or even grandkids. It doesn't feel productive, when the truth is it's probably the most productive long-term thing you'll ever do. And if you don't have children to spend time with, just walk back here to Kids Kingdom and volunteer, and they'll give you a bunch of kids to spend time with, all right? But be around children. Learn from them. Get in the floor and play. Row. Go play kickball with them. Just go do something. Be around children. Number three, so important, I think, is learn to play and laugh again. You know, there's been a lot of studies about the importance of play, that children need unstructured playtime. That's when children grow most in their creativity. And guys, you get mad at me if you want to, but some of you parents who feel so much pressure that your child has got to be in one activity after another. They got to be in every sport. They got to be at piano. They got to be at dance. They got to be at gymnastics. They got to be high academics. And number one, you're wearing yourself out. And number two, I don't know you're doing your children a favor. They need some time just to be outside and play. And I'm scared. I'm nervous that we're stealing many of our children's childhoods away because we feel so much pressure from other parents and from schools to have our kids doing way more than's probably really, really important. You know, this is the funny thing today. You know one of the number one ways that we help adults overcome stress today? Coloring books. On Amazon, adult coloring books are in the top 20 because they say what a coloring book does for you or me as an adult is it makes us, instead of thinking of 1,000 things, just focus on that with no distraction. Number four, be expressive about your blessings. Man, I love, you know, like I say, I love my grandchild who burst into, you know, man, happy birthday because things are going good. Or, you know, you watch kids and they applaud easily and they love easy and they hug easily. I mean, it goes on the other side. I mean, I've had quite a few of them say, hey, buddy, hey, grandbuddy, you're off my birthday list. But I love just the expressiveness. And guys, we become so reserved, even sometimes in our worship to God, just express it. Number five, slow down, enjoy moments. Just slow down. We've got a big rope swing in front of our house, and when our grandchildren come, they just want to swing on that swing. And it's somewhat annoying because once you start, it's what? Do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. We're just going to be out there all day. But I love just the idea that you just completely take a moment in without distractions. Find those moments for yourself. Number six, don't take yourself so seriously. Guys, I honestly believe this is why grandparents are more fun than you guys. You can laugh, it's okay. Because, you know, we'll say, you know, we get to hand them back, which we do, which is pretty cool. But on the other hand, I think some of us put so much pressure on ourselves. As a grandparent, I really believe my job is to just play, you know? But as a parent, you think, oh, man, I got to get this right, and I got to make sure they're learning this right, and I've got to, and I understand that. I appreciate that. But I remember one time when my kids were young being really uptight about, am I teaching them enough Bible, and am I doing enough devotionals, and am I disciplined enough? And those are all good things. But this more mature friend took me aside and said, buddy, you need to stop being so uptight about getting all this right. What your children need to see in you more than you getting everything right, they need to see the joy of the Lord in you. That's going to determine a whole lot more whether they follow Jesus as whether you've memorized the right verses. So just don't take yourself so seriously. Number seven, learn something new. That's what, you know, children ask an average of 125 questions a day. Anybody want to guess how many questions an adult asks? Six. We're 119 questions behind them, right? You know, one of the great things about kids is they're always learning and discovering. And I know in my life, when I'm learning something new, when I'm diving into something and God's revealing something, there's something so exciting about that. And just one more point here. Humble yourself and ask for help. I think that was the point of Jesus. Just humble yourself and ask for help. And that's what, let's go back to Matthew 18 real quickly. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Guys, if your marriage is in trouble, get some help. If your walk with God is in trouble, get some help. If anxiety or depression or any kind of emotional issue, you're in trouble, get some help. And this is the best place to ask for it, here in this church. You know, studying this, I go back to our lesson a couple weeks ago on David. I wish we had time to go back and look at that 51st Psalm again, because I think the reason that David was the man after God's own heart is because David never lost a childlike heart. You go back to Psalms 51, after his horrendous sin, he asked for almost everything we've mentioned today. Give me my joy back. Give me your spirit back. Give me your presence back. Restore me. Just everything. So I challenge you. We're about to sing a song right now. And if you need to humble yourself and ask for prayers, or you need to humble yourself and meet Jesus in baptism, go, I can't save myself. Jesus can save me. Then this is that moment to do that. And I'll challenge you to come. I want you to stand with me right now. There's a quotation I found this week that I really, really love. And it's uncited. Go to the next one. I don't know who the author was. But this sort of sums up, I hope, what we're all hearing today, and I hope you're challenged today. I know I am. Let's read this together. Sing like no one is listening. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like no one is watching. And live like it's heaven on earth. Amen? If we could pray for you about that, why don't you come right now as we